As we remain standing, let us pray. This day, Lord, may we reflect your dreams. This day, Lord, may we reflect your love. This day, Lord, may we do your work. This day, Lord, may we taste your peace. Amen. Warren's just going to get me back online here. I want to make a comment. Please be seated. You know, there's something about hearing scripture read out loud. That story of David and Bathsheba, that's like a really bad soap opera. I mean, it shows how much we have not changed. I mean, it was a really great picture of seeing. How are we doing there? We're getting there? Okay. All right. Have you ever started to pray, and before you were finished, you were thinking of something else? Hello. So the other day, I got a phone call asking me to include someone in my prayers. And as I was praying, I was thinking of ways that we could help, which led me thinking about Zoom meetings, which led me to think about how they impacted our lives during COVID. The next thing I knew, I was thinking about the recreation complex and not having to register for swimming, which then led me to think about how I can improve my strokes, which then led me to purchasing a new swimsuit. Happened all in about 2 minutes. Oh, how we easily get distracted. Now, in the passage in our text from Ephesians, Paul is not, he doesn't get distracted too much, I don't think. We only have the text to go by. But he's focused on praying for the Ephesian community, bingo, Shirley, and here we are some 2,000 years later plus, and the prayer is just as relevant and just as powerful today. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers in Scripture. I like the other one from John 17. Because it encapsulates the themes of love and community, faith in God's love, and the power and strength of a caring group of disciples. And this has always been the bedrock of the body of Christ, the church. Paul is praying for hearts to be open to receiving God's grace and experiencing, he writes, the riches of God's glory. Which brings a picture to me of a chest full of gold coins. Paul, of all people, understood that when God gets a hold of your heart, making a home there, then not only will we appreciate the gift of God's grace, we will be able to live differently because of it. And he begins the prayer. If you have your little Bible passage thing, if you want to go through it with me, you can. I'm going to try and do this verse by verse. It's only 6 verses or something. So he begins the prayer with, I bow my knees before the Father. Now, 2021, we might have a problem with this gender language, but that's a language we've got to deal with. And this means something special, because the normal posture of prayer in the ancient Jewish world was to stand, arms outstretched, palms up, head bowed. So to pray on one's knees is a position of absolute submission. And by this shows the integrity of Paul's prayer, his desire to see things happening in the church and in the lives of people. Because Paul is completely dependent and confident that God will meet our needs, and I love this, accomplish abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And he prays for the Ephesians to experience inner strength, that out of God's glorious riches, they may be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in their inner being. We all need spiritual strength. Paul is asking specifically for the Ephesians as they are experiencing persecution. But he says, if you stand firm in your struggle, you will need and receive supernatural spiritual strength. Today, we all have struggles. I mean, we're just coming out of a pandemic. But in our own lives, we have illness. We have family challenges. We have job losses. We have depression. We have emotional upheavals. And that's just to name a few. Our personal prayer for ourselves and others, I think, are that we and they become open and receptive to the power of the Spirit and become more alert and sensitive. And we receive, I talked about this last week, we receive inner strength when Jesus takes up permanent residence within him, and we get to ask it because Jesus will never enter without an invitation. And every time we pray, really, we should seek for ourselves and others these same spiritual blessings. And the only way we can be successful in any of the ministry we do, whether it's here or whether it's in the world and the culture we live in, is because God gives us an ample supply of spiritual strength for the work and the duty to which we are called. We do well to remember the words of St. Augustine. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the human heart that can only be satisfied with God. Only a relationship with the triune God can make us what we ought to be if we with prayer continually seek to be filled with divine presence. Desiring, as Paul writes, we allow Christ to dwell in our hearts through our faith so that we are what? Rooted and grounded in love. This presence changes everything. And I think it results in a substantial guard against loneliness, anxiety, and fear. This isn't a one-off. If we just do this one time, it's going to work. It takes discipline. But the result is practicing the presence of God is about turning all our life experience into a prayer. Begin each day with intentionality. It has been proven that our morning routine set the tone for the rest of the day. Come on now, isn't that true? I found that to be the case. Rather than being stressed out and rushing around, begin the day with God. Start with this prayer. Here's one. God, this day is from you and for you. Use me to bring glory to your name. God, this day is from you and for you. Use me to bring glory to your name. And this helps turn complaints into praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to give you a very small example. So I bought a new recliner, and I don't like it. It's too high, it's different, and I don't like it. But what happened was it's actually better for me, because guess what? I'm not going to spend that much time in the recliner. That's firstly. And secondly, it's more difficult to get out of, which is really good because it's going to make me use my abs and my legs. So, you know, it's a bonus, right? I mean, that's just a small example, but oh boy, did I complain. I think I phoned my sister and said, I just bought this new recliner from the brick and Taras helped me put it, well, Taras put it together, I didn't help him, and I don't like it. So this helps us turn any complaints into praise and thanksgiving, but it requires training to help us to stop focusing on what's wrong, but find something to be grateful for, because there's always something. Truth is, 1,000 eternities wouldn't be sufficient to express our gratefulness to God. God's worth far surpasses our ability to praise him. Okay, here's another one. So we got begin each day intentionally. Turn your complaint into praise. This one I don't like. Taking our suffering and surrendering it. Not fighting, not complaining, not asking, why me? This is one of the most challenging ways to live in the presence of the Lord. Nothing rocks our world like a long season of intense suffering. Anybody gone any through that? I know you have. I know people who are going through it. There is no magic bullet. And in my life, I have wasted a lot of time being angry with time that could have been spent communicating with God. And also, I have been humbled and awed witnessing people who have been able to transcend deep suffering and not give in to anger and resentment. I am blown away by the number of saints that have been able to do that. Take the mundane, mindless moments of the day. Housework, shopping, preparing another sermon, and begin to see them as holy moments. Nothing is ever wasted with God. Everything has breath in it. Everything is subject to God's will and purpose and brings God glory. Okay, lastly, so we get intentional prayer, turning complaints into praise and thanksgiving, transcending suffering, and taking every moment of the day and seeing it as holy, and then worship. One of the amazing things, or things I've learned during the pandemic, and there have been many, and which I will pray will remain, is the joy and privilege of worshiping with people on Sunday. Be present. To be present with the faithful as we take time each week to gather, to sing, to pray, to receive the sacrament, and see each other as holy. One of the frustrations of the Christian journey is between how we ought to be and how we really are. Ain't that true? It's the desire to see, we know how and what we're created to be, and yet who we are day to day. Ain't that? I think it's helpful to reframe our expectations of that rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Rather, here we go, we might see, do, and act towards others as God has acted towards us. And how is that? With grace and mercy. To become who we ought to be is to allow the Holy Spirit to live and work in us. And we acknowledge this at the end of our worship. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus. The love of Christ is limitless. Its bread is such that it includes everyone in every place at every time. Every walk of life. Its length is such that Jesus gave his life for us. And its depth is that Jesus goes to the grave, to the world of the dead. And its height is such that Jesus loves us from a place at the right hand of the Lord. So where do we experience that love? Well, theoretically, anywhere. But it certainly ought to be in the church, where we are one with Christ. Have you ever walked into a church and it ain't happening there? You can feel it. Anybody done that? Boy, you're all so quiet today. I can't believe it. When we operate from God's overflow, there's no limit to what God can do through us as we open up to the Comforter. And finally, Paul prays in verse 18. I pray that you will have the power to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Knowledge is important, but so is experience. So that why we may be filled with the fullness of God. I was just saying to Ron today, I was noticing the two musics. And one of the songs, there was a fullness to it. He informed me that was the bass guitar, but the bass note, I didn't know that. But this fullness of God's presence. This is where we begin and end, with love and community, faith in God's love, and the power and strength of a caring group of disciples. It is important that as members of the body of Christ, the church is not the building, that we have love at our core. And this is possible when we model to each other an acceptance of our weakness and an appreciation of our strengths. We are to be rooted in love like trees whose roots go deep for nourishment and stability. So we, as God's holy people, are to be firmly rooted in the love of God. And it is love of Christ that the church has its most basic part. And the good news, and here's the good news, is that Jesus' love is permanent. We are loved even when we fall short, even when we mess up. It is 24/7 love that surpasses all knowledge. And this love is so strong that Jesus offered his life on the cross, and because of this one self-sacrificial and unconditional act of love, all peoples have access to God. And the greatest gift we have been given, the greatest gift we have been given, is out of God's unlimited resources we are filled. This is our greatest need, and one in which we are redeemed and set free. And Ephesians is a reminder that the challenge is not to transform the world, but transform ourselves. To transform our consciousness so that we may realize the love of God that passes all understanding. And to know the love of Christ is not something we can find out there in the world. It has been revealed to us by God who sent his Son into the world. And we celebrate that love whenever we gather for worship. We celebrate that love today in this place, giving thanks for the richness of God's glory, the gift of our collective faith, and gratitude for each other. Let us pray. If every part of our life is with you and in you, Lord, then everything is made good. Even the things we struggle to not resent, even the draining and hurtful encounters. Let every moment of our lives be your moment, whether or not we consciously remember you. And Lord, make us more open to the pulse of your life and the breadth of your love. Amen.